Oh my gosh. It's Kat here. I am so pleased with myself. I am recording on Audacity, podcasters. Audacity is an incredible editing tool, and we have some very interesting editing going on in today's show. But I was getting this error reading, and I thought, oh my gosh, after using Audacity for almost 20 years, it might be time for me to use some other technology. And then I was able to troubleshoot it in less than 60 seconds, my friends. So I just want to remind you, if you have a problem, someone else has probably already had this problem and they have already found a solution. And all you need to do is be willing to find it, willing to trust that there might be another way, a better way, a way to get around the error message, the problem, whatever it is. So just trust the process. So today's episode is really unusual. Speaking of, I have never done anything like this before. And you have probably never heard anything like this before. So here's the deal. I have mixed feelings about artificial intelligence, aka AI. Why? Why do I have mixed feelings? Well, I really like to know that what I'm listening to, who I'm listening to, how I'm listening to them, what I'm seeing, who I'm seeing, how I'm seeing them, where I'm seeing them, what I'm seeing them where is real. Let's just say it's a trust issue, okay? But the reality is that I was reminded that AI has its place this week, and here's what happened. At the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo, I had asked to give a talk, and I was told that I missed the deadline. If you remember, my grandfather died, we were tied up with the funeral and getting our animals taken care of, and I had been playing email / phone tag with the organizer, and apparently I missed the deadline. By the time we finally connected, she said, "I'm sorry, you just missed it." So I still committed to go and celebrate my book. Because back in 2023, I went to this event with my children and my husband, and I was so inspired by the authors that I met there that I said, next year, I am going to finish that book I said I would write, and I will be here as an author with you all. And that dream came true. And the cherry on top would have been to give a talk about my book and about my work, but it just wasn't in the stars. So I showed up to the event anyways. I actually showed up a day earlier than my original travel plans because the universe had a huge storm come in, huge storm to Denver. I was getting messages that my flight would be canceled. It was canceled, by the way. And I knew that if I wanted to make this event, I'd need to arrive a day earlier. So there was a lot of hustle getting out the door. Thank God for my incredible husband. He made it work. So I get there. And because of the snowstorm, a lot of speakers were no-shows, and there was just a lot of, you know, moving things around and things not going as planned at the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo in Denver, Colorado. And a lot of our friends still showed up. I had one friend show up and buy a horse. How amazing is that? She found the horse she was looking for. What a gift. We had other friends show up who had grown up coming to the National Western Complex. It also happened to be the same weekend as the St. Patrick's Day Parade. That was a big event going on downtown. And there was a Native American powwow taking place next door. So there was just a lot of activity in this area, sort of this vortex, along with this huge storm taking place. And you brought all of these horse people together, or people who love horses, people who love model horses. It's a Briar event. And we had so many incredible exchanges and opportunities. And this is just how life works. Sometimes the thing you show up for, your intention and your desire, sometimes you get more than what you asked for. Sometimes you get exactly what you asked for, but not in the way that you thought you were going to get it. And you know, all of this comes back to the basic principles of horse people and horse training. And I saw some of the most incredible horse training with these young Mustangs. And you'll hear more about this in the interviews that are coming over the next few weeks, because I was so taken in by the story of the Mustang. And spoiler alert, we are going to talk to a wild horse specialist, not in today's interview, but stay tuned if that is attractive to you in the next few weeks. There is a really incredible interview coming up, an incredible story also about someone who became a champion for Mustangs and saw that they could not only win in the Western horsemanship show ring, but in the English show jumping dressage rings as well. So there's just so much opportunity out there. And today's interview, I'm going to tell you how it came about, and then I'm going to tell you why it sounds the way it sounds, because it doesn't sound like the real thing, but it is the real thing. And this is really important for all of us to have a little bit more grace and understanding about how and why things come together in the way that they come together and what something might sound like and so on and so forth. So here's the deal. On the very last afternoon, well, right before the last day, so Saturday, last day was Sunday, the organizer came up to me again and said, "How's the event going? Are you having a good time?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm having a great time. So grateful to be here." She said, "Is there anything more? We're so glad you're here that we could do for you." And I said, "Well, as I said the first day when all the speakers were not showing up and being canceled, I would have loved to give a talk. If there's any way to give a talk, if you have an opening, please let me know, because I would love to share a talk with the audience here." And she said, "Okay, we can get you in tomorrow. I'll make it happen." So that was great news. The bad news was nobody knew that I was speaking. So I didn't really have an audience. We hadn't had time to put it into the program. People weren't seeing it online, so they didn't know. I wasn't able to reach out to my network in Denver with very much notice. Did I mention it was the St. Paddy's Day parade that night too? So there was just a lot of activity going on. And when it came time to deliver the talk, I had this inspiration that what I really love to do is not necessarily get up and give a talk. My passion is interviewing people. I love pulling out people's stories and carrying the message of why I do what I do in the world with and through the questions and exchange of conversation in understanding why another person does what they do in the world. And it's especially fun when horse people are talking to horse people, of course. So I realized I had this opportunity to have a stage and that we wouldn't necessarily have much of an audience, quote unquote, except for everyone passing through, because it was in this big open warehouse where all these booths are set up and horses are walking through and whinnying, and there's just a lot of activity. And I knew that the audio quality probably would not be very good, but that it would be worth the experience and the opportunity to connect with these incredible people in this incredible environment, which, by the way, is also a paradox. Part of what we all talked about was how we felt being in this warehouse with all this noise and all this commotion nonstop for about 3 days. And how did our animals feel about all of that? And it was amazing to witness, you know, sort of the older, calmer, we might call them cold-blooded animals who were totally cool with how everything was going, versus maybe the younger, less trained, green horses who were really nervous about all of these different things they were seeing, feeling, experiencing. And looking at the children or different people in this environment and whether or not they felt that they belonged inside. And to be perfectly honest, I loved selling my book, meeting with people who were reading my book and getting to meet them as the author and know that as the reader, by reading this book, their life might change. Because by writing this book, my life changed. And my intention in sharing my story with others is that they might see their own story and that their life might also change. So it was such a beautiful exchange. But the truth is, I felt the most like myself when I stepped outside of that warehouse, walked across the street to the larger arena where the young Mustangs were and all the other horses. That's where I belong. My sweet spot is outside, preferably in nature, but a warehouse with sand under my feet and horses and a little bit more quiet will do. Connecting with people doing the real work of working with young horses. What a gift. But here we were in the warehouse. I recognized the opportunity to interview, and I had made friends with a few of my neighbors in varying booths. And I said, hey, would you be willing to get on the stage and do an interview with me, please? I would love to get some of your stories out for our audience. And they said, yes. And I want to thank these men, three of them, because one led to another. And each one, we spoke for about 10 or 15 minutes. And you are going to love these stories. I talked about the gentleman that we're featuring today in my mini-sode earlier this week when I was doing a little download on J-Lo's Don't Be Confused by the Rocks That I Got. You're going to love that. You can go back and listen to it. And I told a snippet of one of the stories he's going to tell about packing and redistributing load. You're going to love this story. The point is, it's not going to sound like Tim, the gentleman I was speaking to. Why is it not going to sound like Tim? Well, when I got the audio back and I listened to it, I could not understand, I could understand a few of the words I was saying, but pretty much I could not understand a word I was saying. And I recognize I could air this audio, which I believe is inaudible. And I talked to my podcasting editor, and she also said, I've got to be honest, I don't think we should use this audio. And so I thought, well, what can I do? A couple things I could do. I could do a voiceover. I could just, you know, look at the transcript of the stories he tells and tell you what those stories are and focus on the higher level message. Or I could use technology, and this idea just came through for me, to figure out how to make inaudible audio audible. How could I do that? Using AI. See, I told you we were going to come all the way around here. Using artificial intelligence. So what my team and I have done is we transcribed the transcript into a different voiceover artificial intelligence voice. My voice is translated into the voice of Chill Girl, in case you were wondering. I'm apparently a chill girl. And the other voice was transferred into, I believe it's, I don't remember if it's a masterful man or something like that. Ambitious man. That's what it is. And so we took these voices and we felt like they were the closest match we could find out of about 30 options. And you will be able to hear the content, but it is going to sound a little bit different. What I want you to listen for is the reason why we do what we do. What's the why behind it? Because so often we get wrapped up in the how things work, where we do something, what it is that we're doing, how we do it. And we miss the why. It's all about the why factor. Why did it matter to me so much to get this story out directly from the event, even if it was not in Tim's real voice or my real voice, to find a way to convey this message? Because when you're in that moment, the stories you tell, sitting in a warehouse with tons of horse people walking from here to there, the energy, it's like being at a horse show, is different from the energy we will have if and when we sit down and have a Zoom interview conversation. It just is. Things come in differently. We can retell the same story over and over, but there will be times where it is our best telling. And this audio rendition using artificial intelligence, I'm not sure is the very best, but it was the best that we could do in the time that we had. At the beginning of this little download, I talked about the fact that I was struggling with audacity when I started this, and I wasn't sure I would be able to continue using it. Do you know it took me less than a minute to figure it out? Sometimes we give up too easily. Sometimes we need to be willing to say done is better than perfect. I spent a lot of time, my team and I actually, on converting this artificial intelligence audio. And if you want to hear the real thing, I'm happy to share it with you. Please send me an email, catcaldwellmyers@gmail.com. It is a little different to listen to artificial intelligence audio, but the story still comes through, and I think you might get a kick out of it. So without further ado, let's hop in to the next 12 minutes of artificial intelligence audio, and I will see you on the other side for a debrief and a special offer.
Okay, hi. My name is Kat Caldwell Myers. Welcome to the Adventure Paradox Podcast. Here at the Colorado Rocky Mountain Horses Expo, I've said that a few times and people have said, Colorado Rocky Mountain Horror Expo? No, we are here for the horses. And I have here with me a very special guest from Estes, Colorado. If you could introduce yourself, please, sir.
Hi, I'm Tim Resch from Estes Park.
Tim, it's so good to see you. You can't see, but we have an amazing dog here, Hank. Let's start with talking about Hank. How long have you had him?
I think 10 years. He was given to me by a friend who was moving back east when he was 7 months old. And I went 11 years without a dog, and then I was given Hank. And he's a pretty funny guy.
Is he always by your side?
Yes, 24/7.
On the first day, when we were here setting up, Hank was leading the way, telling you guys where to go. He travels like 14 or 20 feet out in front. Do I have that right? Does he always do that?
Yeah, he's a header. There's headers and heelers. And he's a header. He's eyes in front.
So header is in the front. For those who don't know the terminology, lot horse people here. So I'm getting a few chuckles on header heelers. But if you're not familiar, the headers go in the front. How can you tell the difference if they might be a heeler at the top? What are some of the things you might be?
I have noticed that the heelers will always be living at the back end. He always goes with the notes.
Would go with the notes. I actually didn't know that they would go with the notes.
He does.
Interesting. But Hank is kind of a rare breed, if you will. Not around here. We see a lot of them. Does he go out into the wilderness?
Every day. He lives in the wilderness.
Let's hear some stories. Has he ever saved your life?
Actually, we had a bunch of friends over at the house party one night. They had a couple of Jack Russells. Hank was younger, and we're in the house kind of having cocktail, laughing, joking. And the dogs were outside, and I live in the middle of the woods. I have 20 acres. Acres of private property inside of 30,000 acres match the door, so it's way out the woods. And we're laughing, joking, and all of a sudden Hank was up at the door. I can look out the glass door. It's a screen door, and he is barking, and Hank never barks. I said, oh, my God, hey, I said, where are your dogs outside? Hey. We went outside and Hank ran down the driveway and he found like 4 coyotes who served with their dog. And they're just about to go after and Hank went to the house to see if we got a problem.
Hey, Kat, here for a quick commercial break. If you haven't heard, my book, The Adventure Paradox, is available on Amazon. And it's been getting some really amazing reviews. It's actually been a little bit overwhelming. And maybe too much to say in the middle of this interview. So we'll get back to it. But I did want to let you know it is available. It was a bestseller in 6 categories. And if you really enjoy this podcast, I think you will really enjoy this book. So please go check it out.
Yeah, and that's exactly how Hank said it. If you got a problem.
The problems.
This dog speaks English, just like your dad.
Yeah, he's pretty fun. You gotta spell things. Hide your checkbook and your keys.
Let's talk about horses. Do you have any horses?
I've got one horse. That one picture of the bay horse over there. That's Stanley DuPampy. I've had as many as 75, but now I'm down to one. But I'm working on getting another one from that cow somehow. They just bought a horse. He's probably living with my guy, but I run a horse-friendly bed and breakfast. So now we do that, and you have to ride in and out. You can't get a trailer to my place, so it's ride in, ride out. I'm the packer for the U.S. government for 14 years, running mule strings, and then I ran a couple of 75 horses. I've managed lots of ranchers. I really, like Packard, just a backcountry trucking service. So we'd have 30 mules. I would average 100.0 pounds of cargo into the backcountry every summer with our Department of the Interior and U.S. Forest Service. I like to trail through special projects.
So, Tim, what is it about packing that you love? And for people who don't know, when we're talking about packing, we're talking about packing into the wilderness, packing on horseback, no vehicles, no.
It's not about that, not mules. Package is fun because everyone's 3 miles an hour. Always going 3 miles an hour, whatever you're doing. I can tell you a funny story. When I was working for the government, I got to show up at the barn every day, and there would be a pile of gear at the barn with a tarp over it and a napkin with a note saying, "This is going to go wherever it's going to go." There's one particular day, we were up on Flat Top Mountain, only horse pass from Estes Park over to Grand Lake for horses to ride, and I had an archaeology crew that needed the stuff taken up on the platform. So I built all my loads, which you do at the barn. You get them all balanced out the way. When you're packing, the loads have to be the same weight. If you roll a saddle, you've got a problem, and that can be a big wreck. And you've got a lot of things broken, and animals hurt. So, there's one day, I got everything done. I'm proud of myself for being a packager. You can usually pick them up and feel this one's within a pound, or so. And so I did that, and I got them all on the mules. And then I start up the trail. But sometimes it happens. I want it to happen. But when it does, sometimes the load will shift. And so it's right kind of funny. You just stop, pick up a few select rocks, put them on the other side, bring the load back, and load. So I can clean it up the trail. But when I got up near where I was supposed to go, there's like 50 women up there. And they're all a bunch of cameras, different staff. And it turned out to be. It was a photography class for these women, and I wrote right in the middle of it. I got my uniform on. On your path to the National Park Service, you feel kind of pretty bad. I ride right in the middle, and they're all kind of partying around me, and I stop. I start off. There's no trees. You have to tie it to the ground, tie your horse, and I go back and start unloading the loads. The first load I unloaded was the mule. That had some rocks as ballast in it. And so I go over there and untie the load. I just grab a few rocks and start tossing them out. And this lady looks at me and she says, "You're hauling rocks up here." And I looked at her and I said, "Lady, how do you think the Rockies got here?"
Oh yeah, that's a good story. I did not pack professionally very much. I packed as a kid in high school, but I was a river guide. And one of my favorite questions from a tourist, "At what altitude does a deer become elf? Back where you're from, folks."
I've seen it, and another good one was, "So, where does the white go when the snow is gone?" And I was like, "Really? And you both?"
I know. How do we answer these questions? How do we answer these questions? Some questions, you know, better left lit, right? Better left lit. So, let's talk about. I don't know if you're familiar. We've got a couple books here. A lot of people know this old classic, Billy and Blaze, one of the very first, 1936. Did you ever read this one? Okay, so this is a classic story about a boy and his horse. I feel like we live in a very disconnected world. For example, what happens to the white stuff? So it's just like this, right? But in 1936, a lot more boys and children were connecting with animals. They were connecting with work and they were connecting with the land. So the real question is, what do we do in a disconnected world to stay more connected? Is this the answer? What do you think, Tim?
Well, I have a test. I mean, animals are pretty powerful to me. So, they're true, they don't lie. I've had horses cheat you sometimes. That happens when they surprise me. But generally speaking, they're good. For me, it's the way of life. I have horses or mules or dogs around me all the time. And well-mannered. That's the idea.
Well, I'm going to think a lot of it as a mirror. Horse people and horses.
A horse is the mirror to your soul.
I like that one. And I love what you're doing. Travel a lot with my horses. With the trailer. Okay. Going a lot faster than 3 miles per hour, for the most part. But I love horsemotel.com. I don't know if you're on there, but I always joke, have horsemotel.com. We'll travel with horses. You can find the place to camp down with your horse wherever you go. And sometimes you break down, things happen, trucks fail, and so on. And I was thinking about how it is for the horses, but even more so, what's it like for the hosts when you get these calls? Things don't go as planned. What's it like welcoming people in every day?
Obviously, make sure they're safe. You okay, then? I don't really get a lot of traffic through my place, but I'm in the woods.
Yeah.
It's remote.
They plan to come and see the white stuff in the rock. I really like these stories. They're pulling these folks together. So, I want to come back to. You said you have one horse.
Stanley Goodman Lee.
What a name. How old is he?
He's 14. I got him out all, and he was 5. He was a cow horse. I mean, Lacey's been with us out there, and we pushed some cattle out in Briggsdale. And he knows cattle, which is really fun. But he's a mountain horse with me. He's been all over the country. I got a friend that runs a buffalo ranch up in Myrtle, South Dakota, 8,000 headed of buffalo, and he got to bride Stan and all the buffalo. That was really cool. He's seen a lot of things and a lot of places, and my opinion is the more you expose your horse, the better they are just to show them everything.
Just like the dogs, yeah. And I think so few people train their animals that way anymore.
Well, there's a lot of like a pair of skis. Everyone's got an opinion.
A lot of jokes about horse people. We have our special breed. I remember being at a party. My husband will remember this. And I started talking to this girl. This was in the suburbs of Chicago. And suddenly our energy got really, really hot. And he came over and he said, "You're a horse girl, aren't you?" She only gets that way when she identifies another horse girl. And then, "Tell me about your horse. You got a horse. Let's talk about it." Thank you so much for sharing some of your stories. My last question for you, this horse you have now, has he ever cheated on you? What do you think about that?
The horses I find most attractive are, they always have a little pumpkin, they got to have that backcountry, something goes down wrong. You need the energy. You can't have a docile, mellow guy like, "Really, we're going to do this." He's like, and when you sat him in the morning, he always kind of gives you the wide eye when I look at the future.
Yeah, I love it. And I love your basking it up. And Hank just laid down and finally. And I think the last thing I want to say as we wrap up and get ready for our next guest is just thinking about our animals and how they help ground us. But we're also really grounded with this animal, and it's reflecting our end. But what happens when people go out into the world without their animals?
Oh, service dog, I guess now.
Right? It's a service dog. But you're the ones who are, essentially weeping our minds without our animals. Yep. So what's the solution? How are we going to save the world?
Stay away from people is my first line. I'm sorry, I'm not writing.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll put Hank on the mic and do it. All back to the beginning.
If you're a horse person, you know it's your heart. They read your heart fast, and they know who you are the second you get on. So, it's a good thing.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, listeners, if you're still here, you just made it through, quite possibly, and most likely, the first ever AI podcast you have ever listened to. And why? Well, probably you wouldn't listen to those regularly unless the content was really important for you. You know, the thing I think that we lose the most when we use artificial intelligence is the actual tone, the actual notes, the actual heart of the conversation. And I hope that we were able to capture a little bit of that. It's also interesting, a computer, and again, the audio is really bad. I'm going to play a little clip for you in a second so you understand just how bad it was and why we did what we did. But you lose the actual energy of the person. My podcast mentor says, when you listen to an interview, listen to the notes with a T. And earlier in this podcast, you heard him talk about his dog, Hank, who's a header, who's always at the nose, S-E-N-O-S-E. But what the artificial intelligence picked up, and again, the audio is really, really bad, is the notes. So it's just interesting, you know, what's lost as we play a game of telephone using computers, using technology, losing the quality. And I still felt, again, that this interview was worth airing, that this was a really fun and exciting and very interesting way to use technology. By the way, I looked up Tim Resch. You can find his contact info if you want to go take an adventure with him at Estes Mountain Outfitters. And he's a bit of a celebrity. He's been in lots of magazines, on lots of different TV interviews, and it was such an honor to have you on the show. And I want to just thank you again for taking up that opportunity and being so brave to share your stories. And I know so many people will appreciate them. And what a kick, like what a gift for you to be our first AI converted interview. So thank you so much, sir. I am going to play now a little snippet of the actual audio so you guys can hear it. So we'll just play this one real quick.
Starting to behave very insecure for something. Learning to have to work with another entity. And make it really, really great. You're in love.
Enough said. You understand why we couldn't use it. And it is actually a small miracle. Here we are with a miracle a month. The first miracle was losing our brand new rescue dog off of the freeway in January. And then the miracle was that she let us catch her. She was hiding out with a geriatric blind donkey. Miracle. Can't make it up. The second miracle in February was at my grandfather's funeral in Chicago, and the sun came out. And as my grandmother said, it was a small miracle. Here we are in March, and I'm going to go ahead and argue that the third miracle might be that technology, AI, artificial intelligence, was able to make sense of this audio and create audio content so we could actually still capture those stories from the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo. And I want to thank you so much again for listening. If you love hearing people's stories, interviewing, sharing your own stories, going deeper in your own personal purpose and message, I'd like to invite you to my free podcasting class to find your voice and claim your purpose. It's coming up on April 11th at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. It'll be an hour. And if you pre-register and make it live, I will answer your questions. So please come if you can. You can send me an email for a Zoom link. My email is catcaldwellmyers@gmail.com. Podcasting has absolutely changed my life. And part of why is that you have an opportunity to hear what it is you're actually saying. Not only are you listening and pursuing this lifelong quest of being a lifelong learner, interviewing and connecting with other souls, but you also get to be a mirror, just like this podcast interview where Tim and I talked about the horse as a mirror. As a podcaster, your guest, you get to mirror their wisdom and create something new through conversation together to elevate your audience, because your audience is the star of the show. And we did not get into the top 3% of all podcasts without such an amazing audience. So thank you so much. I would love to hear your thoughts about this AI interview. And if you don't yet have a copy of my book, The Adventure Paradox, How to Haul It All, Go Big and Go Home, if you would like an audio recording of it, I'm here in my Dream Horse trailer. This is where I recorded it. Great audio in here, by the way. Then send me a screenshot of a review of the podcast. You could review this one with AI. Let me know what you think about this. We will do this a few other times. And there's a joke in every one of these, by the way. We had a lot of humor going on through all of these because you had to, because it was just such a humorous situation and we were all being spontaneous. And that's just classic horsemanship, meeting in the moment, understanding that now is the time, it's show time to show up for yourself. So if you send me a review, a screenshot review of the podcast, I will send you an audiobook recording of my book. So you can listen to the whole 7 hours with author commentary and some chapters I cut out and why I cut them out. Because there's always a better way. You know, we're always learning, growing, striving. And what a gift it is to simply be alive and connect with each other heart to heart through conversation, through listening. You know, podcast audiences are the most engaged of any virtual audience. You all really listen. And I want to thank you for that. And I want you to give yourself a little pat on the back for listening so deeply. And I hope that you heard something you needed to hear. And I wish you the best as you head out into the adventure of your life today. And I thank you so, so much for being part of this journey. Adventure on, my friends. We will see you for a mini-sode on Monday. Ciao.